Hello, I'm Jennifer Neville with this week's Middle East report. Coming up, Israel apologizes following an attack on a hospital in Gaza. Christians in the Middle East are facing increasing persecution, and Israeli growing military knowledge gives leverage abroad. Israel has formally apologized following an attack on a hospital in Gaza, and archaeologists are surprised by the dating of a dam in ancient Jerusalem. With more, here is news correspondent Kent Allen.
In the news, the main story has been an attack by tanks of the Israeli military on a hospital in the southern Gaza Strip, which killed more than 20 people, including several journalists. But Israel says that several Hamas fighters were also killed in the attack. The attack was condemned worldwide, and Israel has issued a formal apology and is saying that the incident is being investigated. Currently, a partial ceasefire and hostage release deal is off the table as the government is pushing ahead with plans to infiltrate and control the final Hamas stronghold in Gaza. And moving from the current difficult situation to lighter news and cultural news, archaeologists have released new conclusions about one of the most important structures in biblical Jerusalem, which is known as the Pool of Siloam. Following extensive excavations of the ancient pool over the past 3 years, recent testing has revealed that an ancient dam holding up one side of the pool has been conclusively dated to have been built around the year 800 BC. The current existing dam is the height of the equivalent of a 3- or 4-story building. Archaeologists say that they were surprised that it dates to 800 BC and that such a date puts it squarely in the middle of the ancient Jewish monarchy established by the successors to Solomon and David. The revealing of the huge dam shows that the Jewish kingdom with its capital in Jerusalem had more ambitious building projects than previously suspected. The New Testament Gospels link the Pool of Siloam to Jesus as well, who likened the waters of the pool to be a symbol of the Holy Spirit. This is Kent Allen reporting from Jerusalem.
In other news, Christians in the Middle East are facing increasing persecution because of their faith in Jesus Christ. However, they are not alone. Extinction threatens Middle East Jews, Druze and others, as CBN's Gary Lane reports.
December 2010, Tunisians ignited a spark leading to the so-called Arab Spring, fueling hope that freedom and democracy would spread rapidly throughout the Middle East. Those hopes, however, became dashed as the dream turned into a nightmare. In Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood rule led to burned churches and bloodshed. The rise of the Islamic State followed with even greater atrocities, spreading to Iraq and Syria. Minority faiths, now considered infidels, were forced to convert to Islam, pay a jizya tax, or face death. Many Christians, Jews, Yazidis, and moderate Muslims chose to flee. Hillary Miller of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom argues that now, outside of Israel, Jews have all but disappeared from the Middle East.
At its height in the 1940s, the Jewish community of Egypt numbered at 80,000. 80,000. Today, there are fewer than 10 Jews residing between Alexandria and Cairo.
75 years ago, a community of 50,000 Jews thrived and prospered in Syria. Today, no Jews remain. Miller reports that's also happened in Yemen, home to the Houthi militia.
Today, from an ancient community nearly 2,000 years old, which at its peak numbered at 55,000 Jews, one Jew remains in Yemen. His name is Libby Marhabi, and he has languished in Houthi prison since 2016. His crime? Attempting to carry a Torah scroll from Yemen to Israel.
Historically, Christians in Syria and Iraq number between 3 to 4 million. Today, however, their population has dwindled to around 300,000 in each country. Carmela Borishan, the director of the Sussex Evangelistic Association, believes that although ISIS is no longer a significant threat in northern Iraq, its outdated 7th century mentality still lingers. CBN News spoke with her at this summer's Coptic Solidarity Conference.
I was going to ask you if you consider it genocide. What is happening? It is very subtle ethnic cleansing that is covered really well. A lot of Western world don't see it because they are protecting the patriarchs.
Iraq's Yazidi minority faith group is facing a critical decline. The United Nations reports that ISIS killed nearly 5,000 Yazidis and kidnapped at least 7,000 women and girls. 10 years later, 3,000 Yazidi females remain in captivity. Jamila Nazo, president of the Canadian Yazidi Association, faults the international community for not doing enough to rescue them.
I sit with these mothers and they show me photos of their kids and they say they're in this house, in this community, on this street, in this village in Iraq. And there's nothing we can do to get them because there's no political will on any fronts.
In June, tragedy struck the Christian community in Syria when armed jihadists opened fire and detonated a suicide vest at St. Elias Church. Located on the outskirts of Damascus, the attack occurred as Christians gathered for worship. A total of 24 people were killed, leaving the Christian community in mourning and shock. This incident raises an important question. Following last year's fall of the Assad regime and the appointment of Ahmad al-Shara as president, was this a rare occurrence, or is the threat of annihilation for Syria's Christian minority growing? Will Ahmed al-Shara's HTS government make a difference?
Well, Shara himself may turn out to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, but he said a lot of the right things to date. But some of the things that are happening really do not inspire confidence.
After the massacre of minority Alawites and others last March, and in light of the deaths of over 1,000 minority Druze in tribal violence in southern Syria last month, al-Shara turned to Turkish President Erdogan for military assistance. He requested military equipment and training to help protect religious minorities. Ryan Morrow from the Capital Research Center is skeptical of Western leaders who speak as if al-Shara won an election. That's because if he were to hold an election today, Morrow says it's likely he would lose, because both religious minorities and Muslim extremists dislike him.
So who's left? Oh, the Muslim Brotherhood? You know, maybe he's moving in that direction because it's been so successful. No, they're not going to accept him either, because he's talking about normalizing ties with Israel. And even if it's a trick, he's gone way too far. He's taken a step beyond what they would even say is permissible by deception.
The question remains of who will protect the Middle East religious minorities from annihilation. Many Syrian Christians turn to God rather than governments to shield them from jihadist attacks. Additionally, a Syrian International Council representative, Asherina Abraham, suggests that Western leaders must urgently intervene before it's too late.
We cannot have meaningful conversations about protecting Christians if we are not listening to genuine Christian voices. If we remain silent now, this pattern of murder and injustice will continue until the very last Assyrian in Syria is dead or gone. And every road of our homeland is once more fractured, and regimes continue to pave over our freshly dead, bloody bodies. A community who still speaks the language of Jesus and whose evangelistic force spread Christianity from India to China will be a footnote in history.
That was CBN's Gary Lane. Finally, according to news sources, Germany will begin training on Israel's Arrow 3 missile defense system to prepare for the system's arrival in the country later in the year. Meanwhile, Germany voted at a recent EU gathering to help stall and then shelve possible sanctions against Israel over Gaza. This highlights Israel's growing global reach outside the US through its advanced defense technology, now central to Europe's security. During the 12-day war in June against Iran, Israeli Arrow 3 and Arrow 2 batteries worked with a US THAAD battery to achieve an 86% intercept rate against Iranian ballistic missiles. Germany also is negotiating with Israel for its silent underwater blue whale scout. Greece signed for its own blue whale purchase in May 2025. European states are beginning to solidify a pattern of Israeli tech adoption. As its exports grow, so will Israel's ability to remain independent of foreign political constraints. Please pray for the plight of Christians and other religious minorities in the Middle East, that their right to religious freedom will be protected and upheld by governments in the West, including the international community. Please pray for an end to the war in Gaza and for all the hostages to be found. This ends this edition of the Middle East Report. Please join me again next time for the latest news from Israel and the Middle East. For more details, go to onlinemiddleeastreport.com.